There's a village there called Oldřichov. At least part of it on the Czech side is called that way today. It's sliced lengthwise by a creek, the north side of which is known as Kopachov, Poland. That, though, has only been the case since what people ominously call the last war, before which it was Ulesdorf and marked the border of two Saxon noble estates. But the annals show that things here used to be named in Sorbian. It lies, after all, at the historical tip of the lands of the Lusatian Serbs, the Slavic Wends. This mesh of cultures here goes back as far as written history, and when I came to Oldřichov, I found them celebrating it with an event they call the European Fair.
This village has always been divided along some lines, Austrian, Saxon, Czech, Polish, but what we want is to live together, and that was the reason why we started celebrating this European fair. And it makes me very happy that both the previous inhabitants who live in Germany today and the current Polish and Czech residents of these communities have met here to recall their history in this divided community that they now share together.
That was Hedvika Zimmermanová, a Hussite pastor who organizes the cross-border fair, and whose Czech-German name, I might add, perfectly shows the lay of the land here. All three borders here came tumbling down at midnight, 3 days before Christmas in 2007, when the countries implemented the EU Schengen Agreement. Mayors along all the edges of the Czech Republic took up two-handed saws with their counterparts across the border, and literally cut through the borders that divided them to the delight of mingling crowds.
It was very, very cold that night. We gave all three mayors files for sawing metal, and they cut through the border blockades right at the stroke of midnight. We honestly must have been the first in the country to tear down the borders.
The fair at the tri-border was about unity, symbolism, and more unity. After a lot of trilingual speeches, the joint planting of a ginkgo tree, symbolic with its cloven leaves, and the erection of a trilingual information table, the multinational neighbors enjoyed some traditional Polish soup and German pastries, and gave in to what I supposed was a shared appreciation for techno music. And that was not the end. There was a joint Catholic-Protestant mass, the border of Catholic Austria and Protestant Saxony having once run through here too. And before sharing a few beers in the pub on the Bohemian side, the Poles and Czechs squared off for a game of football. The Polish side, at least, seemed game for any outcome.
Tu jest wielka gra w piłkę nożną.
This is a big football event for our two small villages, Kopachov and Oldřichov. We do it every year, and we win every year as well. But we might let the Czechs win this year. It would make them happy. They did win once, actually, and they bought the beer afterwards, so beer could be the decisive factor.
The honest glee of people at the fair was lovely, but the genuine will for unity on the Czech-German-Polish border is the upshot of a hard history. Not just the decades of physical restrictions imposed by nationalist and communist governments on people who were and wanted to be friends, but the psychological boundaries created by the horrors of the Second World War and its aftermath of enmity and lose-lose justice. Mr. Dietmar Brendler, who the fairgoers refer to as its guru, learned much about the division of nations when he was just 12 years old.
I left this village with my sister and my father and my mother and my grandmother in June 1946. After came Czechoslovakia partisan and you must go away. Why? I was chairman. I was a chairman, and all chairmen must go to Germany with 50 kilo bagage, and the most people must go in 2 hours. 2 hours. It was very bad.
Zlata Berklova also lived in Oldřichov in 1946 and also remembers clearly when the Germans were forced out of the area.
Most everyone were women here in 1946. The men were in the army or were in forced labor in factories, I guess. But we got on absolutely normally together. The Germans, who lived near our farm, had a daughter who was a little older than I was. Their father's name was Josef, and when his name's day came around, my mother baked cakes for him. And I remember he was so moved by it, he just started weeping. He said he would never have expected that from a Czech.
That family disappeared one day, as did hundreds of thousands of others along the Czech and Western Polish borders. After the war, the Polish were given the eastern edge of Germany, and a new tri-border emerged. But no sooner did its Czech inhabitants begin relations with their new neighbors across the creek than towers and barbed wire cropped up along one border that the Soviets essentially controlled both sides of.
We lost a cow and its calf once when they ran off across the road to Poland. And this man named Rajski told us, "Don't worry about it, I'll get them back for you. I know where to cross the border," and so on. Well, they caught him, of course, and carted him off to help rebuild Warsaw. We got the cow back, but not the calf.
If nothing else, the imposed isolation of 40-plus years fostered another facet of human nature, suspicion of the unknown. That was the feeling that defined much of the details of foreign relations between the post-communist and Western states all along the Iron Curtain in the decade after it fell. It's hard to get Pastor Zimmermanová to talk about the mood then, because she's reticent even to recall it.
It was complicated because people didn't know each other and they had preconceived opinions of each other, that they were all smugglers, that everyone just wanted to buy things in their country on the cheap. There was lots of prejudice. People here on the borders didn't like each other much, but it was because they never had the chance to. If you crossed the border, you were searched, so you were already in a bad mood when you got there. But now the opposite is true. We can go where we want, we don't stand border queues to visit our friends, we don't show passports or report what we've purchased. The atmosphere has changed, and with it the attitudes towards the other countries.
The 76-year-old Mr. Brendler was a sinless victim of the wrath of war at the age of 12. But nonetheless, even more than half a century later, an obvious impetus in his starting this cross-cultural rendezvous was catharsis.
We have a good live from 1945 to the next year, and the people, the Czechian people, was with us very good, very good. And I go today to the daughter from the Czechoslovakia farmer. She live in Oldřichov, in our old house. And we are friends.
Some Sudeten Germans want this land back.
No.
What do you say to these Germans?
No.
Some people do. Some people...
Little. Old men.
And so you don't have bad feelings from the German resettlement about history?
No. It's over. It's over.
At the fair that Mr. Brendler started, the Czech mayor met his Polish wife. Their children have attended school in both countries and have trouble remembering which words they shouldn't use in one country or the other. Life goes on, whatever the trouble people periodically make for themselves. And in this corner of the Czech Republic, the mustached Polish brass band plays the originally German EU anthem, and it couldn't be more fitting.